Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to hear a BBC reporter in a few minutes interviewing a late-term abortionist, Leroy Carhart. He's one of the abortionists that we have, of course, attempted to get him to repent, to stop killing children over the last 30 years. And we have not been successful. It's difficult to get an interview with an abortionist. The BBC pulled it off because they're the BBC and they're pro-abortion, right? The reporter Hillary Anderson came to the U.S. to do a special titled America's Abortion War. So she was able to set up this interview, and he was very grisly, very blunt. In the interview, we'll hear some of that, including that he's not hesitant to call the fetus a baby because it is a baby. And there were decades in which hardly any pro-abortion activist would admit that the fetus is a baby, that the fetus is a person. Today, increasingly, they're admitting those things, which make the absurd and immoral abortion regulations even more absurd. Because the actual front now is even killing babies after they're born with post-birth abortion. That's where the battle has really gone. And we still have the pro-life industry, which is fighting a 40-year-old war with their confused and unethical tactics. So we'll hear from Carhart directly. By the way, years ago, what a tragedy. Here in Colorado, we have our own late-term abortionist, Warren Hearn, and he came on this show, Bob and Yurt Live. I interviewed him, and the transcript of that ran in a statewide Colorado newspaper, went out to 200,000 families, the Catholic Register. So perhaps we'll draw some from that interview as we analyze the Carhart interview. We'll also review the audio of a news report out of Colorado, horrific story where a mother faked her child's illness, her young daughter's illness, and then killed her daughter. So one of the family friends was interviewed on 9 News, and I want to play the friend's comments in two parts. The first part, just what people tend to say when they're asked about a tragedy. And then the second part, this woman is obviously a Christian, and so she adds her forgiveness statements. So we want to talk about that. But the first audio that we will hear is from ABC News, a hot mic in studio with Amy Robach, and she's talking about the sexual predator, the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, and that ABC had the story 3 years ago and covered it up. And she's the anchor, right? She's a news anchor for 2020 and other ABC programs. So this is interesting. And 3 years ago, let's see, what was happening 3 years ago? And what would be the primary motivation for tolerating, giving a pass to pedophiles? Sexual predators. What would be the primary motivation if you put it in one word and that word started with an H? What would be the primary motivation? So I'll ask my producer, could you get that audio ready? And first, by the way, in California, quite a few of the state's mayors of their largest cities have come together and said that they want to take over the public service utility for gas and electric, PG&E. So the government taking over the public utility for energy in the state of California. What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? When you have government control, government intervention, economic calculation is virtually impossible to make an economic calculation like what is the company worth if there's a chance that the Public Utility Commission will say, hey, the company is bankrupt, it's not worth anything, we're going to give it to the municipalities. Imagine that. So stay tuned over the next 10 years to see what happens with that story. Now, let's go to ABC News. So this is on one of their news sets, and Amy Robach, she's talking to someone there at ABC. It seems to be a producer, someone she's comfortable with. Her mic is on, the camera's on, and they're talking about the story with Jeffrey Epstein and how ABC squashed it. So let's hear it, and then let's figure out what was their primary motivation.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us in a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out. And it's like these new revelations. And I freaking had all of it. I'm so... Right now, like every day I get more and more because I'm just like, oh my, what we had was unreal.
So we bleeped out a part of that because a woman in media today, you could assume that she'll be vulgar, and Amy is vulgar. When you reject God and you reject the creator for the creation, not only do you tend to end up worshiping the creation, but you have no heavenly perspective, no higher perspective. We are our base bodily functions primarily, and so that's the context. Okay, so what is the word? It begins with H, the single word that explains the primary motivation of ABC for killing this story. What is the primary word? Well, let's see. It starts with H. So is it humanist, homosexuals, Hollywood, Hillary? It's Hillary. Remember that photograph at a banquet where it was Harvey Weinstein in the middle of the picture, and Hillary on his left, and Huma Abedin on his right. Remember that? It's quite a photo. A sexual predator surrounded by two women who supposedly fight for women's rights, who are both married to sexual predators. So over the last 30 years, going on 30 years here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have warned people that Hillary Clinton is destroying women by giving men a free pass to sexually harass them, even to sexually assault them, certainly to demean them sexually, because while her husband, Bill Clinton, is a molester, a sexual harasser in chief, known not only to the nation and the media, but to the entire world, known to be this, they all say that's irrelevant, that's his private life, these were adults, just moveon.org. Get over it. And so get over it was said to literally hundreds of thousands of women who were mistreated because of Hillary Clinton, because of her. And so then it was her turn in 2016 to run for president. And if the Epstein story broke at the time, with Bill Clinton flying in the plane, the private jet that he named the Lolita Express, to his homes where he trafficked in teenage girls, and mostly they were high school girls from the neighborhoods, but also on at least one occasion, he had women flown in from Europe. Women, I say women, young teenage girls flown in for, I think it was his birthday party. So Hillary Clinton, being the enabler in chief, was willing to throw millions of women under the bus to satiate her lust for power. Women's rights never had anything to do with it. It's killing innocent children. It's defying the living God. That's everything that Hillary Clinton is all about. Defying the living God. And ABC, also the networks, the media, the universities, the culture at large, willing to have women treated like a piece of meat and thrown to the gutter after they're used so that they could fulfill their lust against the what? The Christian right, the conservative right, the people who they view as on God's side. Remember Obama criticizing what those who cling to their God and guns? Remember that? And then remember the ISIS flags flying in Libya, and he's literally arming the Muslim terrorists who are shouting Allahu Akbar and waving their machine guns that we gave them over their heads with the ISIS flags flying over the city halls. Remember that? And he criticizes conservative Christians as people who in some unhealthy way cling to their God and guns while he literally arms Muslim terrorists. So the left, when the left gets something wrong, it's completely wrong. It is utterly backwards. They call good evil and evil good. So Harvey Weinstein, he had to be protected and was because of why? Well, because he was close with the Clintons. I mean, this photo of Harvey, if you want to see this photo, our website, kgov.com/Hillary, if you haven't seen that page in a while, and it features the Hillary dating technique, the wrinkles dating technique, you got to see it. In fact, it's been updated with an arrow pointing to one of the lowest wrinkles on her face. It's one of the cruelest memes ever, ever created. If you had a list of cruel memes, this would have to make the top 10 of cruel memes. And I hate to say it came from some twisted mind here in the BEL studios. Who came up with this anyway? The Hillary wrinkles dating technique. What? You're saying I came up? Me? I don't remember coming up with... I don't remember... Well, okay. I wouldn't think too hard. So that's why the story was buried. Because of the lust against the living God, and if it meant throwing another million women under the bus, so be it. If it meant even more approval, more acceptance, more tolerance of pedophiles who are still unrepentant, so be it, as long as we could have power over what looks to us like a Christian right. So that's the audio from ABC News. Now we're going to go local here in Colorado to the story that has horrified the nation and it's become international with a Colorado mother who faked her daughter's illness to profit from it and then killed her daughter. So she's now been charged. Let's hear from 9 News, but what we're going to focus on is not the story, because tragically, this is another murder in an epidemic of murder in our country, in an epidemic of parents killing their own children. But what I want to focus on is the comments from the family friend in two parts. So let's get to the first part.
A young girl in Colorado that's received national attention, a mother accused of faking her daughter's illnesses and killing her. Kelly Turner was in court today. A friend from Texas was there watching.
I'm just mad at her. because it wasn't necessary. The saddest part is we can't go back and get it now.
So the mother's name is Kelly Grant or Kelly Turner, and she murdered her 7-year-old daughter. What a great tragedy. And that story in of itself, of course, is so significant, so horrific. But I want to focus on the friend. And this is typical. When a tragedy strikes, of course, the media goes to family, neighbors, friends to get comments. And the comments are almost always repeats of what they've seen in formula news broadcasts throughout their lives and reasonably mindless. So that's partly the fault of the news media, the reporters, and the editors, because you could take the family comments from one murder and play them instead for another murder 6 years later. Nobody would know the difference. It's all just the same, and it's mindless. They're comments that shouldn't be said. But, of course, we understand these are family, friends, neighbors who are not ready to speak publicly. And some of them are grieving at the time. So, of course, we understand. But it's so tragic that people are not prepared for a crisis because we all experience crises. You know, people die in our lives. And eventually we will die and go to meet the Lord. So the fact that people don't know how to react because, you know, garbage in, garbage out, if we consume the secular media and that's our primary diet, then even when a tragedy strikes and something truly substantive should be said, it's not said because it's not even known what to say. Then she gets to something substantive, but tragically, she's completely wrong.
We're just all in shock. It's just, you know, you go through every emotion like a death. And now I'm on the, my heart's tender for her now. At first it wasn't. I thought she was a monster. But, you know, God says, you know, you have to forgive others or he won't forgive us. So that's where I stand now.
The false teaching on forgiveness, which claims that forgiveness must be ubiquitous and there is no requirement for repentance on the part of the wrongdoer, that repentance is superfluous because forgiveness is automatic. That false teaching is devastating. Now, it's a secondary matter and a deeper issue to understand that in the Bible, God has two covenant people, the covenant of circumcision and the law for Israel, and the covenant of grace alone for the body of Christ. And in those two covenants, they treat forgiveness completely differently. Now, I don't expect a Christian who is a family friend of a murderer to understand biblical doctrine at that level, because whatever church she goes to, her Sunday school teacher and her pastor, they probably don't rightly divide the word of God. Paul says, if you don't rightly divide the word of God, you'll be ashamed as a workman when you stand before the Lord. So Jesus will wipe away the tears, but there shouldn't be tears because of mishandling the scriptures, but there will be a lot of that. So I'm not talking about this woman misunderstanding that we are in the age of grace and we're not under the law. Under the law, you do works to receive some kind of payment. You know that Latin phrase, quid pro quo? So under the law, if you want to be forgiven, first you must forgive others. Then you do that good work, and then God will forgive you. It's part of the law. And the law involves faith, and it involves love, but also it involves these kinds of good works, including you have to forgive others if God will forgive you. Under grace, you are forgiven for all your sin, past, present, and future. You're forgiven of all your sin. And Paul says that first you are forgiven by God, and then therefore you go and forgive others. It's the exact opposite of the order of events that we read in the Gospels. It's the exact opposite. Because in the Gospels, Jesus says that he was sent to the house of Israel. And for the epistles, Paul's epistles to the body of Christ, which today includes Jew and Gentile, it is not part of the covenant of circumcision or the Mosaic law. And so you don't have to forgive in order to be forgiven today. But I'm not even holding that against her. I'll hold that against her pastor and her Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about her lack of understanding that repentance is not irrelevant. Repentance is not superfluous. You don't just forgive automatically. When you do that, you make yourself nicer than God, greater than God, more holy than God, which is all absurdities, and God will not forgive the people who are going to hell, right? God is not going to forgive them. In the film, The Reliant, that came out 2 weeks ago, 750 screens nationwide. It was on a lot more screens than Martin Scorsese's new gangster film we'll be showing on. That's pretty cool for our friend Doc Johnston. But recall, he came on the show and he said, if anybody in the audience can figure out what line from the film came from Bob Enyart Live, you get a signed DVD of The Reliant. That was so wonderful of him. We had loads of entries from around the country, and I'm sorry to say that all the lines that were quoted, sure, they were all things you'd hear on Bob Enyart Live, but they were just a bit too generic. The line in the film came from one of the Benham brothers, and it's at the end of the movie where the bad guy is arrested, and even though he had murdered the loved ones of this family, the central family in the film, he asked for forgiveness and they forgave him. It was very moving, very powerful. But then he's arrested. The Benham brothers, they're two law enforcement officers, and they have got him. He's arrested and they're bringing him to stand trial for murder. And one of them says, it's hard to tell the two apart. One of them says, well, they can forgive you for the harm you've done to them, that hurt, but you still have to stand trial for the crime of murder. So these are two different things, of course, forgiving someone who has hurt you versus the government holding people accountable, even if that criminal has been forgiven by their victim. Crime is committed not only against the immediate victim, but against the community, against the neighborhood, against the nation. And so the judge, the law enforcement officers, are representing the nation. God has delegated them authority to try and convict, if there's sufficient evidence, the accused, and then to punish him. And God has not given them, God has not delegated to them the authority to forgive the criminal. That is not part of their just authority. So forgiveness, tragically, when a Christian is involved in tangentially in one of these murder cases and they're on the news suddenly, typically what they say about forgiveness is completely false. And it's the kind of error that sends millions of people to hell, because what they do hear from Christians is that you don't have to repent because you're automatically forgiven for anything and everything. And God is a God of love and forgiveness. And so everybody's okay. Now, the mother who murdered her own daughter, you're not going to hear this on 9 News. She's a lesbian. You're not going to learn this if you read the Denver Post. but our audience is wide. And when this crime happened, someone in our audience who has personal knowledge of the situation said, just to let you know, the mother is a lesbian, tragically. Wow. And so when you reject God, of course, ultimately that leads to death. Now, finally, the BBC interview of late-term abortionist Leroy Carhart, the reporter, is Hillary Anderson.
What counts as a medical need, in your view? I mean, if the woman is really stressed about her pregnancy,
to get more to the point of depression, not just stress. And it fit within my confidence of what we could do safely, I would do that.
Right up until when? Late? 38 weeks, 39 weeks?
I don't know.
That you're not comfortable saying?
I'm not going to say that. Yeah. To the fetus, it makes no difference whether it's born or not born. The baby has no input in this as far as I'm concerned.
But it's interesting that you use the word baby, because a lot of abortionists won't use that. They'll use the word fetus because they don't want to acknowledge that there's a life.
I think that it is a baby, and I use it with the patients.
And you don't have a problem with
killing
a baby?
I have no problem if it's in the mother's uterus.
So, of course, it's a baby. Right? The baby is sucking his thumb, playing with his toes. Like when the baby is sleeping and researchers could tell that the baby's dreaming. You know that we have REM, right? Rapid eye movement, sleep when we are dreaming. We're also dreaming at other times. We have different brain waves. What are the five main alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and theta, right? The five different brain waves. And we're dreaming during non-REM sometimes, but we're also dreaming during REM. And the unborn baby, the baby's eyes move back and forth just like an adult's eyes do. And this is mainstream research that indicates that an unborn child is dreaming. You know, what do they dream about? Well, we know that they could learn songs if mom sings them a song. When the baby is born, we know from Romans chapter 1 that all people are alive to God at first in their lives, and then they get to a point where they turn away from him, they reject him, they rebel. We call that the age of accountability. So if you look at Romans 1, Deuteronomy 1, Romans chapter 7. If you get our study on the epistle to the Romans written by Paul, which is the world's greatest theological treatise, the epistle to the Romans, you'll get a good overview of this subject of the Bible teaching on the age of accountability. But the baby, in any way you want to look at it, the baby is a living human being, and abortionists are killing babies. We have been saying that from the beginning of the battle to stop child killing. The left has been in denial, and increasingly, their heroes are acknowledging, of course it's destruction, of course it's dismemberment, of course it's a baby, of course it's a person, but we just killed them.